What's up, everybody? We're here for Mudball Monday. A fight may break out. We'll see where this goes. Round three. Question number one. Four Caddies. How do you feel about Four Caddies?
Hot chicken. Hot chicken really? Restaurants. Well, what's your take?
I'm so in on hot chicken. Number four, steakhouses. Henry.
Steakhouses. Oh, short as hell. Just really, really short. I was talking to a friend about this the other day.
Next one. Number three, sports betting.
Oh, God. Well, I think that the objective answer is long. I've talked about this a lot, that when it's cold, that's where the Mudball half calf really shines, because I just want a coffee in my hand so much. I was going to stop prior to the fourth quarter of the Giants game, 49ers game. And I was like, I hadn't lost any money, but I was just kind of right around square. And just as the tables turn, finally got some good hands late. And literally in like the last 20 minutes of the game, I got three just ripper hands and just cleaned up. It was just a wonderful way to finish the night. McCaffrey
Goodbye,
scoring
Thanks
the winning
for having
touchdown.
Me.
Man, it was a good Saturday evening. Mudball Monday. We're back. 30 quick ones today. Yeah, quick. Yeah, different lengths of answers that we'll be giving. All that's current in the world of golf, or not current, in the world of golf, in the world of the world. We're gonna hit on it today. It's the Tie Podcast. It's Mudball Monday. We are here. As per usual, we start with the dirt, and I will throw it to my co-host, Mr. Dr. Professor Walker Simons, to tell us what he has been drinking, eating, reading, and of course, thinking lately.
What's up, Ty fam? We've got drinking. I want to talk about somebody in my life this week who desperately, badly needs a cup of Goodwill coffee. So Monday this week, I was stopped at a light for way too long. There's a homeless guy that sits in the corner. And I had kind of done my morning routine where, like, I'd had my South American dark. I was truly caffeinated. And homeboy had a coffee cup, and he was asking me for anything I had in the car. And I didn't have any currency except for coffee. So I poured him a nice old Mudball half
Which
calf.
Is the best form of currency.
And so I thought that was going to get my toss of the week for Mudball Monday. But no, the week developed even further from there. I saw a poor lady who was quite literally asleep at the wheel at an intersection one morning. And I just couldn't help but think, gosh, it's late in the week, but how truly tired do you have to be to just do one of these at a red light? I don't know. So my girl needed a cup of South American dark, definitely not the Mudball half calf. Anyways, you can get all of those selections and more at goodwalkcoffee.com using code the tie, 20% off. Go do yourself a favor and get some coffee beans. Eating. Ingredient of the week this week was za'atar seasoning. And I'll tell you why. I'm finishing up my what do you call it? My sourdough. I've got one country loaf left. And it's just kind of been my additional calories for the week, like cutting a little, like a thick thing of sourdough, kind of rehydrating it with a little bit of water, getting it crispy in the pan. And I've got two ingredients that I don't normally have on hand, don't use all the time. What's up? What you got?
One really quick addition here. I love that you're, you know, really committed to the sourdough game, A. And B, I've always struggled with this as a guy who lives alone. Like, I love sourdough, want to buy a loaf, but it's like, I can't really use the whole thing. But what I've figured out is that you just have to figure out throughout the course of the week how it's going to be used. So anything that's going to be like a softer, just like standard slice of sourdough, we're going to slide that early in the week. And then as you move on, you move towards your toasts and your crispy bread sandwiches. And then you finish things off with a panzanella. So I finally feel like I've cracked the sourdough game. But anyway, back.
That's good. That's more extensive than I do. But I freeze. I know there are people that are not into that. I respect that. But
myself included.
Usually when I freeze, it's like it transitions from the freezer to the fridge when it's a couple days out, and then I'll go ahead and do my slices. But for the purpose of this like za'atar toast, it doesn't really matter what we're working with. I just want a thick slice of sourdough, maybe 2.5 inches thick, where I get the crisp on the outside, but I also get like the warm, softer inside. I don't want toast that is crispy all the way through. My
Yeah, agreed.
mom, my parents got back from Italy this summer. I've got some just like amazing olive oil that I've been using, like finishing olive oil. So that and the za'atar is just done perfectly together.
For
So
yeah,
that
this
was
is from
my
probably tiny artisan olive oil shop in God knows where, Italy. I'm happy to give a free ad there.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. Whenever you get your hands on some of that, you've got to use it and use it promptly. Keep it in a dark space. Don't let anybody into it. Don't let anybody disrespect your low quantity, high quality olive oil. So that is my ingredient of the week and my accompaniment of the week, all wrapped in one. Reading. I've got one thing to share from the book that I'm oh so slowly getting through this week, The Hacking of the American Mind by Robert Lusting. And the chapter that I enjoyed the most this week was about cortisol. Cortisol is more or less stress. And the kind of theme of that chapter was, at least what I took from it, was that high functioning people simply just have a protocol. It's not like they experience emotions differently than other people. They just are ready for those emotions to pop up. And nothing that we don't already know, but it was interesting to read the science behind what happens when your body just gets flooded with cortisol, and essentially your decision making ability just gets tossed out the window. So learning a lot about like environment, how to be like prepared for stress, is just something that you know is going to cross over week to week. Having an environment for that, being able and willing to just kind of put voluntary stress in your body early in the day so that you prevent that like total freak out when real involuntary stress actually hits you. And just exercise. So that's kind of what I've been reading on. It was interesting. The book talks a lot about sugar, which has never really been something that I've struggled with, but clearly a lot of people do. And it, the way that he listed it in the book was he just talked about environment. Like sugar normally is the closest, drug that we have on hand. It's most present in a lot of the environments that we hang out in. So, one of the lines that he had was 3 breaths or 3 donuts. We certainly know people who choose one on either side. So, thought that was interesting. And then thinking, caught up on some PGA Tour golf. I want to shout out the
Correct.
agronomy and maintenance crew at PGA West. Dude, I've never really given that area of America shit as far as golf goes, but I'm like not the biggest fan of golf in that area. It seems kind of driving rangey and a little bit lifeless, but I enjoyed particularly that Pete Dye golf course and then the condition of the greens. You got some bounce out there. People are struggling to get the ball to stop. I really enjoyed that. Nick Dunlap and Michael Thorbjornsson, as a side note, are making things really easy on PGA Tour U this week. PGA Tour
Yeah,
U
the
has been
college players clearly aren't ready to be playing on tour,
clearly
right? I mean, it's just like
they just can't
the
go low
delta
enough,
is
not
so
enough speed.
huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, just not it's not there. Fucking 60 yesterday. Are you kidding me? Does
Yeah.
he get
And
it
it was.
done? I mean, classic, like it's gonna be water under the bridge by the time people are listening, so we might look dumb or smart, but 3-shot lead, but we got Sam Burns, Justin Thomas right behind. Does Dunlap get it done today?
A statistician would say no, but I'm going to say yes because it's fucking Mudball Monday. I feel like I have to. What do you think?
Man, fuck. I think a Bama guy gets it done, but I don't think it's Dunlap. It's my take.
Yeah, went with the 66%er. I like that. That's it. I'm going to toss dirt back to you. What you got?
Well, starting off with my drinking, and same concept there as you, someone who really needed a cup of Good Walk coffee this week. I am going to talk about myself because it has been freezing cold here in Austin. And so Monday, I'm walking to work. It's about a 15-minute commute by foot for me. And so oftentimes I just do that. And I knew it was cold out. I think the raw temperature was 14 or 15 degrees and it was windy as shit. And so I look at my phone and trying to sort out what the wind chill is. One solo degree. If there's not an S on the back of DEGREE, something's going wrong because it can only be two things and both of them are absolutely frigid. So that was just a brutal situation. You know, it definitely gets cold here, obviously, in Texas, but people aren't exactly used to cold weather, and it's actually hilarious. Not that I've ever lived in a cold climate, but I also think that, you know, it's just like, it's not that bad, guys. Like, downtown on Monday was a complete and utter ghost town because it was like 15 degrees, and I'm like, you know, it's not negative 25. You know, like, the world doesn't quite need to stop just yet. Anyway, that aside, I'm like walking to work. I've got my toboggan on and three jackets and everything, and get to my desk. And I was like, this homie could use a cup of Mudball Half Calf. I've talked about this a lot, that when it's cold, that's where the Mudball Half Calf really shines, because I just want a coffee in my hand so much. But there's that self-imposed caffeine limit on a daily basis. And so, you know, I'm just personally not going to be doing, as my co-host pours his Mudball Half Calf, that a boy. I'm not going to be doing four cups of regular per day. I love those days, but my body doesn't love them as much. So Mudball Half Calf, always a great choice. But when it gets cold, man, it slaps. So I needed some Mudball Half Calf this Monday. And I course corrected after that day. It's just been absolutely flowing throughout the week. So our friends over at Good Walk Coffee may be hearing from me earlier than they thought for some more beans, but hey, nothing wrong with that. So
makes two of us. I got to place my order today.
That's my drink.
So do you listening. Got to place that order today.
Exactly. In case the people already forgot, THETIE, that is the tie at goodwalkcoffee.com for 20% off anything on the site. We recommend the Mudball Half Calf. We recommend the South American Dark Roast, but anything that tickles your fancy on that website, have at it and save 20% with code the tie. Okay. Moving on to my eating. Shit, I gotta give some love to Big Sweet Potato. Now, I say, you know, I dropped the varietals at the beginning because I just ride for purple, and the direct classification. Okay, so there's Hannah and there's also Jewel, not J-U-U-L. We're talking J-E-W-E-L. Jewel Sweet Potatoes, which are white on the exterior and the interior. And, you know, I will do orange sweet potatoes, but you know, everything, all the different varietals have their application in different ways. And so an orange does great for me roasted in hunks or fries, you know, whatever, like an orange sweet potato fry is a great thing. But I'm a big fan, as I've given color to before, on the baked sweet potato. Specifically, I do the air fried sweet potato. And if we're talking about that, and I'm just going to put a little blech in the middle, a little bit of salt, and I'm just eating flesh and skin, then I like purple and white. They just do better for me. Like, not white, Hannah and Jewel. Now I have really been dialing in my air fryer sweet potato game. So bear with me on this one. I used to be like a 45, 50 minutes at 400 degrees, let it rip, take it out, go for it sort of guy. I have taken more to the British sort of jacket potato sort of preparation. So what I do on a daily basis, sweet potato, one large cut down the middle, and then score across that cut. So you almost have like, it almost looks like a football with the laces. And I put it in there on 300 degrees for like an hour and 15 minutes. And this is in the morning. It'll sit in there all day because I, you know, I don't have an hour and a half for dinner preparation when I get home. So I do that in the morning. It sits in there. And then when I get home, about 15 or 20 minutes on 400, just crank it and crisp that skin. I swear the inside, like, I add a little butter anyway, because, you know, we all love butter and the flavor is really nice. And I'm personally not afraid of butter like many are. Anyway, that aside, it doesn't need it, texturally speaking. Like, it is so soft inside, yet the exterior is really crispy. So if you're a potato person, which I hope most people are potato people, give that a go. About an hour 15 on 300-ish degrees in the air fryer, and then just crank that temperature for another 15 or 20. I think you'll be pleased with your results. And that's all I got. That is my ingredient of the week. The accompaniment of the week, it's still the sumo. It's sumo season, and they're just flowing. I think I had at least 15 or 20 of them in my refrigerator as of like this past Sunday. And I think I still have 4 or 5 in there, but you know, we can do those easy maths. It's been kind of a 2-a-day sort of click. So that'll wrap up my eating. A lot going on there. Moving into my reading, one specific thing I've learned, I'm wrapping up here with Never Finished by David Goggins. I've enjoyed that book. Not that I didn't expect to enjoy it, but I have enjoyed that book more than I thought I would. I think Goggins, like the Goggins like subreddit, let's call it, I don't necessarily subscribe to. I don't subscribe to anything on Reddit, but I'm just talking metaphorically. The people that are just like constantly quoting David Goggins and Goggins mentality. But if you actually just like read Goggins stuff, it's really, really rock solid. I mean, every now and then something pops up that you're like, okay, like this is a little cheesy. But the biggest thing that I've been thinking about a lot that I've picked from that book recently is, and this is something that's kind of swam throughout my dome for years, but the power of choice, and not just like at a high level, like how powerful it is to have choice in any matter in life, but more specifically, and this is where it's like very Goggins sort of stuff. Like if you choose to do something, fucking hey, like you better execute on it and you better commit to it. Like, don't be that guy that we talk a lot about. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy that gets all jacked up on a Sunday night to go work out on Monday morning. And you get in there and you're going to hammer the Peloton, let's say, for 45 minutes. And you get to minute 17 and you're like, oh, this kind of sucks. You know, I'm going to quit. It's like, you chose to do it. Come on. Like, let's commit, guys. If you have the power of choice, which many people don't in a lot of hard things, like, please at least do it for yourself and others to execute on what you choose to do. So that's been the biggest thing that I've taken from Never Finished by David Goggins. And I would recommend that book. It's a rock solid one. And cheers to my co-host. That was my Thai podcast Christmas gift. Something to add?
No.
On I go to my thinking. As a product of this cold weather and a product of my, you know, friend group and all the rest, just been thinking a lot about golf, honestly. Now, no golf has been played. Not a bit of golf.
My
clubs back there. I see some spider webs, and I think maybe a spider itself on them. They're collecting dust. They're getting more brittle as the days go on, kind of like my body and my golf swing. But I think that it's cold everywhere right now, and so it's amazing the number of people who I'm in contact with, maybe not on a daily basis, but like fairly frequently. And even some that it's like, yeah, I'll be in contact with like every month or so, that are like, hey, you know, what's on your calendar this summer? Like, let's get a golf trip going. So I think this weather for us golfers really gets the gears turning on. Okay, like it won't be cold forever. It's only a handful of months away before it's time to dust the sticks off and get after it. So that's kind of where my dome has been. I've had some really kind offers and things coming up in the golf world this year. And so I'm already kind of starting to triage, you know, what I can get away with, essentially, because I wish I could get away with it all. So a lot of golf on the dome, but we'll move on from the dirt and talk about some golf. Let's do 30 questions. I'll kick it to you. I guess we'll be going back and forth. Mm-hmm. These first five, what's the time limit? I mean, there is no time limit here, right? It's like just straight up couple word answer and on we go.
That's it. Yeah. Long, short, I guess those are the headliners, and then, you know, developing situation, holding it for the year. All of those are kind of our backups, but
maybe
yeah,
placing like a limit by, you know, trading options, all of those sorts of, a lot of different ways we can go. Yeah.
Sure. The dangerous word. Yes.
Easy.
Yeah, I got to be careful. Yeah, round one has got to be quick and thrifty. So let's start off. I'll go with you. First question of the day: joggers, long or short?
I have to clarify. Are we talking golf joggers or general?
Oh, we're talking golf joggers.
Short as fuck, dude.
All right,
Okay,
come on.
ball washers.
Short. Hell's Half Acre.
Long.
Okay.
Pre-marinated meats.
Oh, long. All day. GPS golf apps. On course. Think
Hold.
like
Hold.
Okay.
Hold.
All right. What you got?
Courses with no tee markers.
Oh, long. All day. Love. Balliol. Yes. No discount on greens fees during aerification.
Bullshit. Just bull short, bullshit, whatever.
Excellent. What you got?
Scratch off tickets.
Holding. Developmental situation.
The answer. I needed a fucking all in on that one.
I've actually got a couple scratch offs in my desk that I haven't scratched off. So we'll do that Monday follow up. Number five, airport beers.
People are gonna hate my answer. Shorting, not betting the house short. No Michael Burry situation here, but on the shorter side of things.
Okay. All right. Round two. We got.
No, I've got one more for you.
Okay, go.
Leaving rakes and bunkers.
Ooh. Yeah.
Some sure. Places it's pro forma, but
generally not a fan. I mean, use best practice, but short. All right, round two. A little bit more color on these. Round three is going to be 2 minutes plus
colorful.
Of color. But round one, we get a little bit more in the weeds here. I'll start off. Number one, on course ball washers, which you already used for me, but that's all right.
Coming up twice. Okay, well, that's good, though. I've got some color to give here. Generally speaking, rather long. I guess that they're courses where they don't fit. But I think you can always like wedge them in there. You know, for example, if, and I can't recall if they do or not, but just use the example. If Pine Valley had ball washers, that would be like, people would be like, but yeah, that's cool. You know, anything Pine Valley does is cool. And I think that fits for so many places. What I am short on is the clubs that, you know, are kind of a little bit of that guy. And they're like, no, we're a country club, a fine establishment. We can't be doing ball washers. Like, that's for public courses. I'm short on that. Now, just in a general sense, I would say I'm like a hold on ball washers. I don't think that they're life changing. Like, I can, you know, I can use my towel. I can make it happen. But I think it's more of the baggage that I've kind of unpacked here that comes with the ball washers. Those that think like, oh, we can't have ball washers. You know, it's bullshit. So that's my take. Okay, kicking it to you. I didn't know how to actually describe this. The motorcycle golf cart things that you see people have, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, because it depends a lot who's riding one of those guys. I feel like it draws an obnoxious crowd, yet I am so long. Like so in Nebraska, when I was working out at Landmand, where there was a sister course.
Literally and figuratively, seemingly.
Yes.
Long.
Long.
I see the table moving.
When we were in Nebraska, we played the sister course that the Andersons owned called Old Dane, and they had those bad boys. And so after work, like, we had been working 11, 12, 13 hours a day, you want to play as many golf holes as you can before the sun goes down. And you've got three or four players who are all pretty good. Dude, we could play so many golf. It was like, it was insane how much golf we could play in those things. And it was so fun. You're just riding around in t-shirt and shorts and covered in dust. I mean, it was the best. So I'm long for sure.
Okay. So one super quick follow-up. What's the vibe on those in terms of where you can take them? Is it, can you be more liberal than a cart, or is it about the same as a cart?
Yeah, you can be more liberal than a cart. I think it's fair to say the footprint's smaller, but I would also say that the type of course who would have those sorts of things in stock would acknowledge that you could go pretty close to the green. I think if people were trying to, you know, cut you off on the no more cart sign, I think that's bullshit. I wouldn't want to take them at that point. But I would hope that there would be some matchup with like the course that would have them in stock versus kind of letting them near the greens. So yeah, that's the whole point, is rocking up right to the edge of the green, going putting and cheating it off to the next tee.
Right.
All right. My next one to you, taking a call in the men's locker room. Is that inbounds, or is that out? Because sometimes you got to take a call.
I'm going to go with it's purely who the call is from. If we're talking a work call, yeah, there are work calls that need to be taken, I guess. But generally speaking, I'm short on the work calls in the men's locker room. I feel like you've somewhat made the decision when you're playing golf to be like, probably not going to take it unless it's super important or like already on my schedule. So I don't know. That's a non-answer, but I'm long on it if it's like, hey, your kid calls you or something like that. Like, it's okay in certain aspects, but just be discreet. Get off to the corner, go sit in the stall, check out one of the most important of the five S's, and take the call. That's the take. Okay. Moving on here. Do you know what the fastest growing restaurant segment in America is?
I don't.
Hot chicken really? Restaurants. Well, what's your take?
I'm so in on hot chicken. It's a great thing because at least nobody that I know wants to eat hot chicken once a week, but it is very well one of those like quarterly or even monthly ordeals where every month
take.
Or so I'm craving something.
You want to get
spicy?
hurt?
No, well, yeah, but I would say one thing a month, spicy like a soup, ramen, something of that order, and then one thing a month, spicy that I can crunch on and gnaw on and eat like Nashville hot chicken. And I'm a sucker. I was thinking about this morning. Burgers, like there was a time where we were out on burgers. I'm so in on burgers, and Nashville hot chicken sandwiches are the same. Like I want one good one a month. So I'm long on hot chicken. My third one is a wire brush, a really hearty wire brush. Good news is it cleans your clubs quickly. Bad news is it kills your grooves, especially in your wedges. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you just said it. No, get out of here. Okay. Some respect for your golf clubs. Like it's kind of a funky one because it's like, oh, well, I'm keeping my clubs clean. But it's like, yeah, but you're fucking them up. It's like, don't be doing that. Very short. A plastic bristle brush gets the job done just fine, as does a towel, frankly, or tea. I'm a big tea guy. Towel, a little bit of water, use the tea. Kind of a nice way to waste a little bit of time. Short as hell on the wire brush.
Tee box activities.
Okay. I don't think you have them, nor do I, but I'm more so after the vibe here that it gives off.
Okay.
The new AirPod headphones, the over-ear Apple situation that so many people have gone to.
Short. I respect it, I guess. I put them on. They're incredible. I understand why people like them. Still short. Not a big fan of over ears. I think they look weirdly modern. It feels like something that I feel like a grandparent, and then I'm like, yeah, that's just too young for me. Not my vibe. Especially people working out, golf too. It's just, I don't like the over ear thing. I think it's
AirPods.
Maximalist.
I guess where I come from is AirPods are enough of a don't fuck with me, and these are a formal stay the fuck away from me. And I'm not as much about that. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. Walking off the bus with big old things on your ears. Number four, Tiger's pop stroke concept.
Interesting. I don't know enough about it. If the food's good, I'm long. If the food's not very good, I'm short. That's basically it. Like okay. the golf is going to be fine. It's a platform to get a stick in your hands, I guess. Please nobody run with that one. And if the food is good, then you got me. And if it's like really lackluster and it's just like, frozen chicken tenders and Miller Lights, there are other things to do with a Friday or Saturday evening. So seeing as the cat's behind it, I'll go ahead and place a long on it because that's basically where I sit with anything cat related. Fuck vowels, by the way. Vowels are out.
Fuck vowels, dude. He's just like, give me three consonants. It doesn't matter what they are. Just give me three consonants and we'll start an LLC right now.
So good. Okay. Non-18 hole par threes. It feels like we can't do a par three course anymore that's 18 holes. 17, 19, 13. all sorts of numbers that come to mind, but I don't see 18 very often.
So you're asking me if I'm in favor of 18 hole par three courses?
I guess that's the corollary of the question.
I think 18 par threes consecutively is too many par threes. Really hard to get some variety in there. But I love par three courses. So I would go long, even if it is 18 holes, just because I think par three courses are really important. So long. Fifth. I think you'll enjoy this one. I don't see this very much, not as much as I would like to, but Tough Day Pins, reinstating a Tough Day, an annual Tough Day at our clubs and courses.
Yeah, very long. Big fan of that. Now, I do think it needs to be within reason, because I have to imagine that the reason that they have fallen somewhat out of favor is because it just goes too far, and you have pins that are like, it doesn't work. Like, there is a thing out there called gravity, and the whole like, oh, let's get the greens 14 and put it on slopes. It's like, yeah, okay, well, this is stupid. Like, if you can't finish. But I think if we start with the every player must be able to finish every single hole within reason today and not have the shortest possible putt be 9 feet. If we start there and then do the revenge days, is what I'll often hear them call as well. Like the greenskeeper's revenge. Big fan. Absolutely love it. 36 hole facilities. I feel like that's also kind of, it's one of these with a lot of these new builds, and I'm hearing a lot of that people really care about trying to have two golf courses. People, even if there's just one at the time, people are thinking about what that second golf course may be.
This is a really tricky one. I would say long, because for more of a community reason. Like, I think about inner city, the 36 hole clubs that I'm familiar with. It's like, it's a reason to get more people together who can enjoy the game in the same zip code. Whether that's destination golf or inner city club golf, I generally think it's good. I'm the only hesitation that I have is I'm not a fan of massive developments. I think that inherently makes them worse, but I will still say long for this answer. And that will take us on to round three. Round three. This is for those of you who are at Mudball Monday every week. This is where we almost purposely fall off the tracks. So all the color in the world here, a fight may break out. We'll see where this goes. Round three. Question number one, four caddies. How do you feel about four caddies? And I'll put an asterisk here, required four caddies.
This is tough. I think it's the word required is what gets it. I think it's more of the, I don't like when caddies are in a general sense are required. However, I fully understand that and am not directly opposed. Now, I don't think they should be required like at all times of the day at certain clubs, but it's kind of that like cop out answer, I guess. It's like, we can't quite decide if we want to make people take a caddy. So we'll say, yeah, you have to take a four caddy. And that's probably the part of it that I don't necessarily like. I approach it more from that standpoint than like, how do I feel about actually like having a four caddy out there? I mean, yeah, I don't mind paying, you know, a quarter or third of what I would to a regular caddy and not having to rake a bunker, et cetera. You know, like it's all good. But I think of it more from a standpoint of like, I don't know. I'm just not a huge proponent of that like middle answer. You know, it's like, hey, make me take a bag man or let me be my own. But as you know, I'm like very out on golf carts. And I think a four caddy almost certainly implies golf carts. Unless I'm missing something, I don't see a lot of guys carrying their bags and just having a four caddy stroll along. In fact, I think that's essentially not a thing whatsoever. And so when I take it that direction, it's a hard short, because when golf carts are involved, short. So yeah, that's going to be the take.
You pretty much covered my exact thoughts right there. Excellent. What you got?
lot of ways that you can go with it. Actually, no, they're not. I pigeonholed you here. YouTube golf, in parentheses, match oriented YouTube golf.
Oh man. Short, if that is the main purpose of the episode. I think that I struggled to watch content of the best players in the world playing golf, even when it's very concentrated, like their best shots or their great round or whatever. So I struggle watching, you know, 3.5 handicaps do that on a 22-minute schedule with a lot of like random shit talking and like chirping in the middle of that.
Horrendous. So short, tracers, tour tracers.
Yeah, short in that aspect. However, I do think there is room to do this better. I think it will be done better than produced better, be more engaging, not be like fully centered around the match. So room for improvement there, but short. Number two is going to be bourbon.
Bourbon. This is the perfect situation for me to break out the term monitoring the situation.
Okay.
I'm not short, I'm not yet long, and I'm barely even holding because I don't know if I quite own any stock yet. But I have it on my watch list. I'm tracking the daily movements. The good days, I'm seeing pretty good spikes in the stock, but the dips are still a little bit too low for me. So I guess you want to buy on the dip, and maybe that's what I need to game when it comes to bourbon. When I have a day that I have some and I'm like, no, just that wasn't very good. Not a dark liquor guy. I kind of want to be if there's any liquor that I'm drinking, but it's just not there. Maybe that's exactly when you double down and you say, okay, this is the dip. I need to get some nice bourbon and really turn the tides here. I think that's where I sit. We are formally monitoring that situation.
Understood.
Okay, so all the trends, all the stats, everything says that, especially among people our age and younger, and really just in general, I think you could probably set aside people above the age of 45 or 50, but let's say anyone below the age of 50, it is up and to the right when it comes to cold coffee. What is the take?
Oh, man. Blanket statement? Blanket statements are tough. Man, this is tough. Yeah, I'm gonna say monitoring the situation too long on cold coffee with a rule that it has to be a minority play. Like, cold coffee is super acceptable if it's a one day a week endeavor and you have your thing. But I think if it's a daily gamer for you, I'm not as big of a fan of that. Like, a hot coffee is the origin, and it is the origin for a reason, especially hot black coffee, like straight up. That should always be the standard, the North Star. But I do think there is a place for cold coffee, especially like cold espresso drinks. Yeah, very, very into that. Next one, number three, sports betting.
Oh, God. Well, I think that the objective answer is long. The academic answer is long. And I mean, if I'm being honest, like, I think the personal answer is also rather long.
Yeah.
God, I'm trying to think if I have really much color to add here. I mean, when it comes to, I'm trying to think about this kind of ethically. When it comes to pro sports, I feel like it's just formally kosher, right? Like, mm-hmm. what's wrong with betting on something that people are making tons of money off of, in my mind? It feels more and more kosher every day when it comes to the amateur and collegiate level, because I think that the intersection between those two words is, you know, more or less gone and being even further in the rearview mirror. So I would say a pretty all-encompassing answer on that one from both an academic and a personal standpoint would be, yeah, I'm rather long on sports betting.
That was a fruitcake answer for round three.
I don't need to bet on Eldrick Tiger Woods when he's playing. I mean, I am so invested in what's going on emotionally.
I thought you were going to give us the soundbite of the day. I'm so long on Tiger Woods.
Well, I am so long for Tiger Woods. If we're talking about, you know, the NFC Championship, I'm going to watch it regardless. I kind of care. I'm going to enjoy it. I like football. It's a hell of a lot more fun to watch if I've got some action. So I'm a fan of action.
You gotta be.
You have 1 5-day golf trip to take this year. It can be anywhere. Where will it be, and why will it be there?
For a segment that requires a lot of color, I can answer this one very succinctly, and that would be Bandon Dunes, because as a golfer, I'm embarrassed for not having taken my 6-day bender there. So, I think Bandon's just one that I must cross off the list. It is obviously so good. We talked to people who stumbled upon Bandon as somebody who didn't really know a whole lot about golf and golf travel, and they loved it. You talk to somebody who went to Bandon and they got the worst hand dealt to them as far as weather goes, and they loved it. You talk to somebody who played there competitively and they loved it. And then anybody else loves it. So I think Bandon is very firmly somewhere that needs to be number one on my list. And then we'll look at some others. I've got some more creative answers, but Bandon is the obvious. Number four, steakhouses, Henry.
Steakhouses. Oh, short as hell. Just really, really short. I was talking to a friend about this the other day. So here's the problem with steakhouses in my mind. Let's set aside the stuff. I mean, shit, if I'm going to go to one, I might just go to an Outback, because that kind of more solidifies what I'm about to say.
Hot take.
But for the moment, let's set aside the not good steakhouses in the grand scheme of things. My problem is that if you go to something that it's like, oh, this is better, you know, like your Ruth's Chris, you know, you're kind of like, what is that, a C minus to a C? Maybe it's more like a B minus steakhouse, but it's no flavor of an A. You go there, and now all of a sudden, rather than a $40 out the door situation, $35 like at an Outback, it's now a $75, and the quality has just not gone up that much. And then where I really take issue is you up the game another level, and you go to like a baller steakhouse, which I've been to a few of those, and I just leave and I'm like, I could have made that filet just as well at home. I could have made that ribeye just as well at home. I wouldn't have used a whole stick of butter to cook it, because that's what they do, and it didn't really make it all that much better. Those mashed potatoes, yeah, they were cool, but anything's going to be good when I add bacon and 6 pieces of cheese to it. Those rolls, yeah, that was good. I mean, any bread that's slightly undercooked and warm is going to be really nice. And more of the same when it comes to that mushroom side that I had, you know, like, yeah, mushrooms are good in general. And when you add a shit ton of salt and like a half stick of butter to, you know, a dozen mushrooms, like, they're probably going to taste really good. But it's just everything about it is, I feel like the addition in quality from a flavor standpoint that you're given at a steakhouse is purely just based on like more cheese, more butter, more. The whole concept of simplicity being the ultimate sophistication is completely checked at the door when you're at a steakhouse. And kind of back to where I started, I mean, I honestly do kind of feel like, shit, if I don't feel like I'm getting 5 times, which I know I'm not, 5 times the enjoyment out of paying 5 times more for a really nice steakhouse versus an Outback, if I want a steak at a restaurant, which I'm not going to do, I'm going to make it at home, but I'm just going to go to an Outback. So that is a long-winded way of saying I'm Michael Burry short on steakhouses. That's my biggest short of the day.
That was a beautiful symphony of an answer.
Okay. Yeah, with a lot of bass to that one. Who will be the top couple architects in 20 years? Who of like the up-and-comers? So Gil Hance is not on the menu for this answer. Tom Doak is not on the menu for this answer. Up and comers who are maybe, you know, in the scene, coming onto the scene, but not formally a part of the scene exactly, that really excite you as you look into the future of golf course architecture.
I'm going to take a pause on this one because I've got a guy I'm thinking of. It's Tyler and his associate.
Tyler Ray?
Yeah. All right. Chiming back in here. I'm super long on Tyler Ray and his associate, Jim Ryan. I've been looking at some of their stuff lately. They've got a project in Nashville and a project near Charleston. The work that was done at Lookout Mountain just looks really sharp. I need to get out there, give Sweetens another run, go play Lookout Mountain for the first time. But those two, who I don't know much about, like I haven't really spoken to Tyler in person about his work or anything, but I just think the approach to construction, the final product, looks pretty freaking sweet. So that's kind of a random call out, but those two. Yeah.
I have a really, really funny Tyler Ray story. I played with him when I was like 14 or 15 years old. And I wouldn't say I had zero interest in golf course architecture, but like, I didn't know anything about it. I kind of, golf to me was like, you know, it was competitive and it was like something you do and you're going to try to play in college. And I was probably not even quite a freshman in high school. I feel like I was in, I was like 14. I was in like eighth grade. Maybe I was a freshman in high school. And the head pro was just like, hey, take this guy out. You know, he's a golf course architect. He works on the golf course and great guy. But I remember just being like, so you're out here because you're really interested in like the contours of these greens, you know, fascinating.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can make this 9 footer. That's what I'm worried about.
How old were you at the time?
Like 14. Classic, dipshit moment. I would love to have that round back. Okay.
It's very mysterious. Go ahead. What you got?
No, it's off to you for this one.
Okay.
Last question for me.
What the fuck? I put on course ball washers twice. Let me think.
Sick. Think on the fly here.
Carrying an umbrella even when there's rain on the schedule.
Yeah, I hate umbrellas because when you carry one, it doesn't rain. When you don't carry one, it does. It's just tale as old as time. And I hate carrying them, but I also hate not having one in the rain. So I hate them. I mean, I hate golf in the rain in general. Actually, that's strong. Hate's a really strong word. And like, I'd pay money, as it's 36 degrees outside right now, for it to be 76 degrees and pissing rain on me. I'd play golf in that in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. So that's strong. But yeah, carrying an umbrella is no, because you kind of do need to have like a proper bag, which my bag is just proper enough to do it, but you cannot do like a really light lay down bag well with an umbrella. It just like screws the vibe up. And I just have so many like shitty memories of 36 hole qualifier days and, you know, lugging an umbrella all day, popping it up, popping it down. It's just, it's not fun. Playing golf with an umbrella is just not as fun.
Yeah. Give me two rain gloves and no umbrella. I'm set.
That's I feel like that's the most sinus thing I've ever heard. Like, you're the kind of guy, dude, there's no way it's going to rain. And it ends up just like absolutely dumping for the entire day. That's you.
Yeah. Or it's going to rain and I'm still not taking an umbrella. That's the vibe.
Okay. All right. Last question here. I am curious to see how you answer this one. If you could only play solo or in purely five balls for the rest of your life, which one would it be?
Oh my God, dude. That's the difference between those two over time is
large. No playing partners ever again, or having to wait for 77 golf shots on every single hole.
No, dude, I'm slightly introverted by nature. I'm going to go with my nature here. I know the answer is certain that I would be just fine playing golf by myself for the rest of time. It would be harder to get tee times, though. I mean, this is kind of a theoretical answer here. Much easier to play five balls.
Yeah, that's true, because that part of the caveat is you can't just like set call the pro and say, hey, I'm a solo, you know, fit me in. It's like, no, you are playing by your lonesome. So
yeah, I'm going to switch my answer there, because I actually have interest in playing more golf at some portion of my life. So five balls, we'll let it ride. And I'll
now, you're a weirdo.
Miss.
You're not a dog guy, because where my mind goes with that is I wouldn't mind just like having a dog that I love and bringing my dog along and playing solo with a dog. But you know,
I'm not out on dogs, but it's a stage of life thing. Like I want a dog when my kids are old enough to like do well with a dog, and then I'm all in. But until then, no. So I'm not out on dogs. And the idea of playing solo with a dog is pretty special. I'm all in on that.
Anything else we need to cover today?
No, we have Patrick Koenig coming on Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Henry has got a piece coming to you guys on Wednesday. Henry, what exactly is that piece going to be about?
I mean, along the same lines of what I mentioned in my thinking, just thinking about G, wanting to get out on the course. 4 for 24, my top four courses that I would like to see this year. And I'll go ahead and throw it in here that new builds are not part of this. Like it's older course, not, it doesn't have to be like golden age, but established golf courses, let's say, that don't have that like novelty factor to them of being, you know, something new that everyone wants to go see, but that I have not. So four courses that I'd really like to see this year.
Patrick Koenig posting Thursday, 8 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern, played 580 rounds of golf in the last 365 days. So we're going to be talking about that and a slew of other things. So we will keep you posted this week. Eyes on the stories, eyes on the website. Make sure you're subscribed at www.thetiepodcast.com. Order your Mudball Half Calf. All the things. Have a wonderful week. And thanks for listening.